We'll start by reading just one verse. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, would you please? Second Corinthians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we read, "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the time we can just spend together now. And Lord, we ask that as your word goes out, it will be the Spirit of God who is our teacher. He will be the one that ministers within our soul. That Lord, we won't be dull of hearing, but Lord, we'll allow those words to sink down to our very soul. And that Lord, we would allow you to change us. For Father, we need that transforming power to take place every day, every week, so that we may grow and be fashioned into the image of our Saviour. And so we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I just want to pay attention to that last little phrase that we read there. "For we are not ignorant of his devices," talking about Satan. Paul wanted to let those at Corinth hear that he and others were not ignorant of how Satan works. Can I ask you this? Are you ignorant of how Satan works? Have you ever stopped to think of how he works against you in your life? Or do you just merrily go through life and do as you please and just hope that Satan doesn't have his way in your life? Do you stop and think about it? I do believe one of the biggest mistakes that a Christian can make is to be ignorant of how Satan works, because he has methods of attacking us. He has been around for a very long time and he knows how to get people. He definitely knows how to bring down Christians. And so we would do ourselves a favor to know how he works. And what I thought we would do this evening is just look at some of the ways of the wicked one. Now this isn't going to be a big surprise to you. It shouldn't be. It should be just a simple reminder to you. But it's something that we need to be aware of. Let's turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. I was thinking about this afternoon. I don't do a lot of fishing, but whenever I have gone out fishing, it's obvious that the fish that I was trying to get were not ignorant of my devices, all right? They just knew how to stay clear of me. And I guess that's the difference between a good fisherman and a bad fisherman. They know the sneaky ways to catch fish, and they hope that the fish are very ignorant to their devices. And Satan can pick up some quite easily because we are very ignorant while others aren't. And so we need to be well aware of how he works. And so let's have a look at three ways that he works. And I'll just turn to Luke chapter 22. We read there, and in verse 31, it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." You know, there are a couple of things that I learned just from about Satan, just from this verse. First thing I see here is he knows us individually. Jesus said, you know, Satan, Peter, he wants to get you. And he wanted to bring him down. Satan wasn't just out wanting to do bad in general. He had specific people that he wanted to bring down, and Peter was one of them. And I wonder if you've ever stopped to think that there are demonic beings who want to target you specifically. You know, I often think, well, yeah, there's demons. There's the devil and the demons and the wickedness out there, and they're out doing evil and they want to destroy this world and they want to destroy people's lives. They want to destroy Christians' lives and Christians' marriages and so on, and churches. That's true, but I don't stop to think, and they want to get Alan Mitchell. That gets a little bit more scary when you think of that, where they desire me personally. You know, but I'm sure at times my name has been mentioned where they target me specifically. Just like Satan was going to target Peter. Now, we know with the life of Job, his name came up. And we know that Satan targeted Job specifically. We're going to do a job on Job. We're going to sift him to the point where he just falls apart and curses God. And it appears that this was the same with Peter as well. I suspect Satan knew that he could cause a lot of problems for Satan because of the type of man he was and the desire that he had to follow the Lord Jesus. And so he wanted to do that. He was a threat to Satan and his kingdom. And you can be sure if you're a threat to the evil one, not just will he try to bring you down in a general sense, but he will try to bring you down specifically at times. You say, I want to put the Lord Jesus first in my life. I want to serve him. I want to love him. I want him to be glorified through my life. And I want to do as he pleases so that he will use me in for his glory's sake. You can be sure your name will get mentioned at times, maybe on a regular basis. Satan wanted to sift him as wheat, it says. Now, we see here when it comes to sifting, you know, in those days, I'm not an expert in the manners and customs, but they would have a sieve with wheat on it, and they would agitate it and shake it. And I think we've all done that with a sieve at home in a little version. And all the rotten stuff, the husk and the dust and so on, would make its way to the top, and then they would just blow it away and get rid of it. And Jesus says Satan wants to sift you like we sift wheat. He wanted to shake Peter up a bit. He wanted to agitate him and see what came to the top. He wanted to see what was really inside Peter. And we know the story, some of the stories of Peter, when the soldiers came and they tried to take Jesus by force and he was agitated, he responded in anger and tried to hurt somebody. Wasn't the nicest thing that came to the top. When he's in that amongst the people and they're saying, aren't you one of his, Peter? We know that he blasphemed and he swore and he denied the Lord Jesus. Not really nice stuff. So just in that way, in the days to come, when he was agitated by Satan, we see some of the not so nice things came to the front or to the top. And that's what's going to happen to us. Satan tries to sift us. Be sure of that. And when we're sifted and we're agitated and shaken, you know, how often does that fiery temper appear? Or those words that are hidden so deep down, they seem to come out. Or that bitterness within our soul takes root. Or we say unkind words when we get shaken and agitated by someone. It's these times when we're agitated that we discover who we really are, and Satan gets to see the real person as well. But I guess even more so when Jesus said this about the sifting, Satan wanted to rattle Peter to the point where he gave up in his walk with the Lord, because we see that from verse 32. I've just got to find it again. Verse 32, it says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And so Jesus says, I've prayed. I want you to know, Peter, that Satan wants to sift you, but I want you to know that I've prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail. And so what was Satan wanting to have happen? He wanted Peter's faith to fail through those times of agitation. He wanted to shake Peter around a bit or put him through the blender, so to speak, so he would give up. And you know, there were times when, as we know, he denied Christ and he spoke out with bitterness and anger and lies. There were a couple of times that he was beaten for preaching the gospel. He was put in prison because of that as well. Satan tried to rattle this man. The encouraging thing is, though, that Peter grew in his faith during this time and trusted the Lord more and more. The sifting didn't destroy his faith. The sifting actually helped him to grow in the Lord. And that's the flip side. Satan may want to sift us and agitate us. And it's true, it brings all the not so nice stuff and it reveals it to us so that if we repent of those things and confess it, we can get rid of it and we're refined. Or Satan can have his way and our faith fail. We start to blame God for what's happening in our life. We start to blame other people for what's happened in our life. We start to grow bitter and anger, and our whole Christian outlook changes completely. And brethren, there will be times in your life when you'll feel like you're going through a blender. Maybe you feel like you're in that sift and you're being shaken constantly. Problems just seem to hit one after the other. You may be being attacked by the unsaved that you come into contact with. You may be at the same time going through dramas at home. At the same time, you may be having some health problems as well. And you feel like you are just in a sift and you're being shaken constantly. You know, that's what Job went through. You know, when Satan wanted to attack him, there was an accident with his children, lost them. There was the financial ruin. There was the physical problems as well. His friends turned on him. All these natural things. Yet we know that Satan had his eye on Job, seeking to destroy him. And that's the same with us. You know, if you have lost the friendship of someone, maybe going through some health problems, maybe some trials at work or at home, you know, you can just merrily go on being ignorant of Satan's devices, getting down, thinking the world hates you, everyone hates you, I don't know why I'm bothering doing this, no one's sticking by me, I think I'll just give up everything, my Christian friends aren't really that Christian friends and friends, I'm just going to give up everything. Or you can be ignorant of Satan's devices, or see it for what it really is. Hey, this is the time Satan's trying to sift me. And I need to use this as a refining time. As God says, when trials works patience, and when we are patient, we start to grow in the Lord. And so if you're going through a hard time at the moment, can I encourage you to realize that that's just one of the ways of the wicked one? And maybe you're the target at the moment and he really wants you to lose your faith. All right? He wants your faith to fail. Stop trusting the Lord. Stop trusting his word. Stop trusting his promises and that his ways are the best ways, so that your faith will be ruined. But if you're not ignorant, you'll cling to what God says throughout the trial. And so that's the first way he works. Second one that I want us to look at is in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, we have a very familiar passage. It says there in verse 1, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And so sometimes he tries to sift us, other times he tries to tempt us, to put something that seems so tantalizing to draw us from under the protection of God, outside the hedge, so to speak, that he puts around us so that he can have his way with us. And I don't think I need to explain the various types of ways that he tempts us. I suspect we've all suffered some temptation this week by the evil one. Sometimes we don't even realize it's Satan behind it. We just see something that we know we shouldn't do, or we're going to upset God. But we forget that behind every temptation is the evil one in one way or another. The thing is, we can be sure that he has a vast repertoire of temptations. I sort of get the picture, you know, like, I don't know if it's a good or bad thing, but you see these pictures of, you know, what sort of weapons do you have, you know, and some crazy redneck opens up these doors and he's got like all these guns, all these different types of guns that he can use. Well, I sort of see Satan like this. What sort of repertoire do you have, Satan? Well, let me show you my repertoire. I've built up a whole stock of things. All these different temptations. And what's even scary is he'd be able to say, see that one up there on the top left? Alan Mitchell always gives into that one. That's his real temptation. If I want to really get him, I go for that one. See that one down there? That's a such and such as temptation. I know that usually gets him. He knows what works with you. He knows what temptation to bring out when he really wants to get you. Have you ever stopped to think of that? Or you just blindly take the bait every time. But you know, even though there's a whole repertoire of temptations, there's one thing I do believe is the same for all of us. And we see it even here with Jesus. Have a look at verses 2 to 4. It says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What I want you to notice is Satan waited until Jesus was at his weakest. That's important to know. He waited for him to be at his weakest before he tempted him. He waited until he had fasted 40 days to tempt him with this turning rocks into bread. He didn't come on the second day when he's probably not even hungry yet. Say, you know, if you're the Son of God, why don't you change these rocks into bread? No, he waited to the 40th day when he's starving, when Jesus isn't strong, when he physically was really hungry, when he was mentally probably not really with it, when you haven't eaten for that long. And Satan says, if thou be the Son of God, trying to stir up those emotions that can often happen when we're weak and we're tired or hungry, and hoping to grasp onto that hunger, said, why don't you do this? He waits until we're at our weakest. You know, if you're sick or you're going through a really bad day or you're really tired, Satan doesn't say, oh, look, they're having a really bad day. I don't think it'd be fair to tempt them today. I think I better wait until they're a little bit stronger. No, that's when he wants to tempt you. He waits for the weakest time in the day, in the hour, or in your life to bring you down. When you feel the most lonely, that's when he brings along someone to tempt you to not be lonely outside of God's will. When you just got those emotions of feeling angry and you don't even know why, that's when he'll make sure something happens to stir those emotions up. If he knows that you've had a really bad night being kept up with the kids and you have had hardly any sleep and you are really, really grumpy, you can be sure that's when something's going to happen to tempt you. He's not going to say, oh, they've had a bad night, I think I better leave them alone. That wouldn't be fair. All right? If he knows that it's at the night when you're sleepy, you're just sort of careless, and that's when you may watch something or do something that you know you normally wouldn't have, that's when he's going to tempt you. If he knows it's when you're by yourself that you're the weakest, he will. If he knows that if it's when you're in a crowd of unsaved people and the pressure around you will be tempting you to go along with the crowd and do what you shouldn't do, it's going to be then. He knows when you're at your weakest. So wouldn't it make sense that if you're someone who is not ignorant of his devices, you would think, now when am I the weakest? When do I get tempted the most? And then work out ways to make sure you aren't falling at those times. I am the weakest in the morning, so they're the times I need to make sure I'm in God's Word, I'm quoting Scripture, I'm in prayer, or I know that when I'm sick, I just seem to fall so easily, whatever it may be. They're the times when you need, because Satan will come when you're at your weakest. And so that's another method. But we have one more method. Revelation chapter 12. Would you please? In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, we read this. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. That's how he is described. Satan, the devil, the one who deceived the whole world. He is a deceiver. A deceiver means you make people believe that something is true when it is actually false. And that's what he endeavors to do. He wants to convince us that something is right when it is actually wrong. That something is godly when it is actually godless. If he can't sift you, if he can't tempt you, well then he's going to get even sneakier and he's going to try and deceive you. And he'll come as an angel of light, looking all beautiful and respectable and holy, and try and get you to do the wrong thing. You know, I think of Peter. You know, Peter was a man who God used, who was strong in so many ways. And yes, Jesus said, he's going to try and sift you. But it didn't work. He was still loving the Lord. He's going to try and tempt you. And there's no doubt that he suffered temptations like we all did. And it wasn't working. And then he tried to deceive him. And one of those times was recorded in the book of the epistle to the Galatians, if you want to turn there. You know, we know that there were some from Jerusalem who were going around, and this is very similar a little bit as what we were looking at this morning, saying that you can't be saved simply through faith, but it has to be through the works of the law as well. And so unless you're circumcised and you keep the law, you're not going to be saved. And there were people believing this. And Paul was explaining this because those he was writing to in these regions of Galatia were falling into this as well. But we read in chapter 2, verse 11, he reminds them of an occasion that Peter fell into this. He says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James, that's from Jerusalem. He did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles. Now, it goes on, but basically, Peter was starting to stick with these false teachers. And Paul saw that. And so he rebuked him for it. You're being deceived by these people. And so even the apostle Peter was being influenced by the deceiving works of Satan's angels of light. And I do fear there are a lot of people that they will go through the sifting and be refined. They will resist the temptations and grow. And then someone comes along with a new doctrine or a new way or a new philosophy or something, and they just get caught up with it and they are taken away. And it's so scary when that happens. We need to be very careful of that as well. If we read the words of the Lord Jesus, let's turn to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. We read in verses 5 and 6. And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, but shall deceive many. And the sad thing is, there are many, I believe, in the charismatic movement that have been deceived by angels of light. Many who have knew the gospel, but then they heard of a Mormon coming, or a Jehovah Witness, or many others, and they've been deceived. And so these are just three simple ways that Satan works that I trust you won't be ignorant of. And I wonder if you could look back in your, maybe the last week, month, year, even the last year, and ask yourself, have you seen any of these ways of the wicked one in your life? Have you been feeling like you're in that sift and he has really been shaking you up? Well, understand the purpose of doing that is so your faith will fail. You'll stop loving the Lord, living for him, and doing what you have been doing in the past. That's what Satan wants. Has that been happening? Has he been getting his way? Or has that sifting actually been a wonderful experience of refining and getting rid of all that mess deep down that needed to go? What effect has it had? Or what about tempting? Has he just been dangling some tempting things and he knows he's been coming when you're weak and he's just been getting victory after victory after victory? Just seems to turn up at the same time and get you every time. Or have you realized, hey, I'm just losing the battle here. He keeps getting his way. I'm going to start seeing victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've trusted the Lord and you've leaned upon him and his word, and you've been able to see victory where you never thought you could see victory. Have you been maybe clicking on to too many internet preachers? And that is a problem. Be very careful of that. Being taught and hearing things that are really just deceitful in their manner. We need to be careful of that as well, because we should not be ignorant of the ways of the wicked. I trust we're not. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have your word to guide us and lead us. We have that prompting of the Spirit. And Lord, you know very well that often the Spirit prompts, yet we don't want to listen. And Lord, we harden our heart. Help us not to do that. Help us to be wise and have victory over the evil one who so dearly wants to destroy our church, wants to destroy the families within this church and every single individual. I pray that he will not get his way in our life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.